Chapter 16. I narrowed my eyes on the somber demi-human child as she tugged my hand to pull me into the castle. I turned and motioned for the rest of my people to follow, and I heard the royals yell more thank yous as they followed us inside. "What do you mean?" I asked once we were in the palace. "We finished the ceremony we came here for."
"Yes, but I haven't finished the barrier,"
Kiona replied, and dropped her head to her chest.
"I can't quite figure it out. Ubira's notes are jumbled up, and the ancestor journals are even worse. It's like they're all speaking another language."
"Perhaps they are,"
Alione mused, and tapped her lip before she turned to the king.
"Your Majesty, do you happen to have another pendant Kiona could use?"
"Like mine?" Tecumseh grabbed the pendant that dangled on his chest with surprise. I don't know. This was a gift from Isi's father."
"That makes sense,"
Alione said with a nod.
"Do you have any other jewelry similar to it? The inscriptions make it susceptible to magic, and I think I could use one to solve Lady Kiona's problem."
"Oh, wait,"
Isi cut in.
"There's a bracelet in my jewelry box. Nokomis, you know the one with the turquoise stone?"
"Yes, Mother. I'll be right back,"
Nokomis replied. The snow leopard princess sprinted up the stairs and returned a few moments later with a gold bracelet that featured a turquoise stone the size of a dime. Each of the links in the bracelet were carved with intricate designs, and Alione grinned as she inspected each one.
"This will work perfectly,"
she said as she clasped the bracelet around Kiona's wrist.
"Tongue of yours, tongue of mine, whisper truths most divine."
The bracelet glowed a soft blue light and then faded back to normal, and Kiona stared at the jewelry with round eyes.
"What did you do?"
she asked the princess.
"I enchanted this bracelet, so whenever you read a language you don't know, you can still understand it,"
Alione explained.
"Now, even if the journals didn't make sense to you before, they will. Shall we try one?"
"Yes!"
Kiona grinned and slipped a text from her satchel. She and Alione put their heads together as they skimmed through the scrawled pages of a former shaman's journal, and I looked up to see the king and queen watching their new shaman with fascination. Isi's mouth had curled into a small smile, while the king couldn't seem to help but stare at the small demi-human. Maybe now was the right time for my other questions. "What if they find the barrier spell?" I asked carefully.
"Then we can prevent magic again," Tecumseh replied after a brief hesitation.
"You can,"
Alione agreed as she turned from the table with Kiona and squared herself to face the royals.
"But do you want to?"
"Why have we always banned magic?"
Kiona asked with an air of innocence.
"I've already used it a few times to help."
"But you're the new shaman,"
Isi argued.
"You're supposed to use magic to help us."
"Other people could too,"
Kiona shrugged and looked down at her book.
"I guess I just don't get it."
"A long time ago, some people used magic to hurt Narsglow,"
Alione said.
"And the royals before decided to make sure that never happened again."
"Well, no one is going to hurt Narsglow while I'm here,"
the little demi-human said with a small smile.
"I would never let anyone do that. I love it here, even though sometimes other kids are mean to me."
"You won't have that problem living in the palace," the king pointed out. "So you can just use your magic to protect people."
"It wouldn't hurt to have some help."
A pink blush colored Kiona's face as she looked down at her books.
"Some of these spells only work with more than one mage. I wouldn't be able to do them all."
"Not everyone should be able to do spells,"
the queen said with a harsh bite.
"They are for special people like you."
"If you say so, Your Majesty,"
Kiona replied and turned her attention back to her book. "Even the child shaman disagrees with the law, even if she doesn't know how to say it," I said. Isi and Tecumseh looked at each other and frowned, while Tawa ushered Denali back to her room. Then he stood and crossed his arms over his chest as he awaited his parents' decision. I wasn't sure if he'd speak out again, but I was fairly certain his mind was made up. He enjoyed using his magic. I'd seen it on his face when we'd fought the shadow spider today. And there was no doubt his daughter would enjoy it, too. And she had the potential to be one hell of a fighter when her time came.
"You've seen for yourself how good magic can be,"
Nokomis pointed out,
I used it to determine Kiona's honesty, and she's already helped heal our land of the rifts. And Tawa used his power against an evil creature today, and then Lord Evan used his magic to cleanse the evil from Rama. Magic isn't always bad.
We can agree with that,
Isi said with a curt nod.
But there's no way to know if someone will use it in a bad way until they do.
And there's no way to know if someone will kidnap your sister-in-law until they do, I chimed in with a smirk. You had no idea Leno would do something like that until he did it. He didn't have magic to turn his choices into bad ones. He did that one on his own.
Well, if he'd had magic, that could have been much worse, Tecumseh argued. He could have used one of those portals to take her somewhere we couldn't find her.
And if your people were allowed to protect themselves with magic, he may not have ever been able to take her, I said with a shrug. There will always be an argument one way or another with magic. The way it's used will always depend on the person using it.
So, how do we know if people will use it in a good way?
Isi asked, with tears of worry in her brown eyes.
What if more Vis Imperio come up?
You can't stop every bad thing, Your Majesty,
Ravi said with a kind smile.
Trust me, my people are only known for doing good, yet that is exactly what drew the demons to us in the first wave of the Breach War. We never did anything to hurt others, and our purity became our weakness. Evil will always want to do evil, but the good ones must do their best to fight it.
But they can't fight it when they're only allowed to bring a dagger to a sword fight,
Rebecca added.
Well, perhaps you could put a barrier that blocks dark magic,
Isi suggested.
Then they couldn't possibly hurt good people or stop good magic, right?
I'm afraid there's no spell for that,
Aliona said, and then furrowed her brow.
But there's something that may ease your mind. Are you willing to allow magic in Odraine?
We are considering it, Tecumseh replied haltingly. What do you have in mind?
Rather than a barrier against all magic inside it, why not a protective spell for Odraine?
Aliona suggested.
If it is maintained, it could alert the shaman of anyone who enters the barrier without good intentions for Odraine in their hearts. The spell wouldn't keep them out, but the shaman would know immediately when someone with ill intentions passes through.
Magic can read someone's intentions?
Isi asked with wide eyes.
Not specifically,
Aliona admitted.
But I think I can combine the protective barrier with Nokomis' empathic ability, and it would read the emotions of ill will toward your people. Then you could protect yourselves from the enemy, magical or not.
Will you give us a few minutes, please?
Tecumseh asked as he motioned for Isi to follow him into the dining hall. The royals disappeared from sight, and I looked at Aliona with an impressed smile.
That's a pretty good compromise, Your Highness, I said.
I've learned a few things from my oh-so-diplomatic husband,
she giggled. Me too, Nike agreed. Like how not to talk to the goddess of the unrevealed.
The rest of us started laughing, while Kiona watched us with raised eyebrows and confusion, until we saw the king and queen return to the great hall. Then we straightened up and waited for their decision.
Princess Aliona, we have decided to accept your suggestion,
Isi declared.
It is in Odraine's best interests to open ourselves up to new magical possibilities, and we can no longer avoid its existence in our lands.
Really?
Tawa gaped at his mother in shock.
Yes, Tecumseh chuckled. With that said, we will also issue a decree throughout the country that magic is no longer forbidden, though dark magic will be. Unfortunately, we can't guarantee dark magic won't be practiced, but with this protection spell in place, we have high hopes that no wrongdoers will be given free entry into our home.
That's wonderful.
Nokomis clapped her hands and hugged the queen.
I'm so proud of you, mother.
The two snow leopards shared a fond smile, and Aliona grinned as she turned back to Kiona.
All right, you're getting a good lesson today,
she said.
We'll be combining power into a written spell. Come on, I'll show you how to rewrite one.
The princess led the little shaman to the table near the couches, and they set to writing out a new spell. While we waited, I was pleasantly surprised at the appearance of the kitchen staff with small pieces of fruit and bread, and we scarfed them down and chatted about the new laws regarding magic.
I would be very clear about dark magic, I suggested, as Satsuna took notes from the royals. You can't just say, no dark magic, because someone new to the stuff might not know. It needs to be like, no necromancy, no spell that requires a living sacrifice, stuff like that.
Except to please the gods,
Mariah added. All right, except for the ones to the gods, I agreed. Some of the old rituals have that.
How dreadful,
Issy murmured.
Do the gods truly want that?
Yeah, I have a feeling a few of them are perfectly fine with it, I said, as I thought back to the angry goddess of the unrevealed. They aren't all nice.
You really have met the gods? Tecumseh asked, as he narrowed his eyes on me.
A few, I shrugged, and bit into a tender orange which dribbled juice down my chin.
We met one today, Tawa said. The goddess of the unrevealed.
Oh, wow,
Issy breathed.
At your ceremony?
Yeah, although she didn't seem too excited to be there.
Nokomis laughed.
And she didn't like when Lord Evan told her she could be nicer.
You didn't!
The queen gasped and covered her mouth. Well, I only agreed with Denali, I chuckled. Issy nearly choked on her apple as she looked over at Tawa, who nodded his head and grimaced.
Yes, my outspoken daughter informed the goddess of the unrevealed that she wasn't as nice as the god of punishment, he muttered. Luckily, Lord Evan agreed with her and took the focus from Denali, or I'm afraid her threat to strike someone down may have been followed through.
Done,
Aliona called out. Kiona held up a piece of parchment paper with a triumphant smile, and the two magical ladies walked over to join us. What do you need for it? I asked. Bones of a chicken? Skin of a super rare fish?
None of that,
Aliona giggled.
We only need to channel Nokomis's power with the blessing of a leader of the land.
Well, that's easy enough,
Issy said with a smile.
How do we bless it?
We'll start with the spell, and when I look at you, you'll say, I bestow it,
Aliona explained.
Can you do that?
Of course,
the queen replied with a regal lift of her shoulders.
Great.
My wife smiled and turned to Nokomis.
For you, I'll just need you to stand behind Lady Kiona with your hands on her shoulders. She will access your power through physical contact.
Easy enough,
Nokomis agreed as she positioned herself behind Kiona. Then Aliona walked to stand in front of Kiona and kneeled down with the parchment between them.
Are you ready, little one?
She asked in a soft voice.
Ready,
Kiona said with a nod.
Then let's begin.
Aliona closed her eyes and took Kiona's hands as they began to chant the spell together.
North, south, east, and west, guardian of life and land so blessed,
they intoned.
Heart of hearts, soul of souls, protect Odraine from danger's tolls.
Suddenly, a blast of brilliant blue light burst from their hands and erupted in every direction around us. It blew past me like a gust of cool air, and it disappeared past the walls of the castle. Then the air stood still again, and Aliona and Kiona opened their eyes with delighted smiles.
We did it!
Kiona gasped as she hugged Aliona.
We did the spell! The barrier is up!
Great job, Lady Kiona, I said with a smile. You're a quick study. I think you're a natural.
Thank you, Lord Evan,
she replied and blushed a bright red.
I'm very grateful for all of you. The voice told me you could help, but I wasn't so sure then. I'm glad I listened.
Who was the voice, anyway? I wondered.
I don't know,
Kiona said with a shrug.
Her own spirit guide,
Mariah answered.
She doesn't have a noble sword, but many things can bring a spirit guide to someone who needs it.
Well, I have it on good authority. It was your spirit guide, I echoed. So I think you'll be in pretty good hands even after we leave.
Oh, that reminds me.
Aliona jumped up and grabbed Kiona's hand.
Let me show you the mirror messaging before we leave.
The magical duo returned to the table to go over their communication spell, and Nokomis still stood in the same place with a dazed look on her face. Are you okay? I asked softly as I stepped close to her. You look lost.
I am, a little,
she admitted.
I know you said I could go wherever you go, but I've always come back home when I leave for an adventure. If I go now, then it's for good. And I've never been anywhere without my brother.
She looked wistfully over my shoulder at Tawa, who stood with his parents, Nike, and the rest of my lovers as they discussed the barrier and new laws. It doesn't have to be for good, I pointed out and lifted her chin to look at me. And it's not like you'd never talk to him again. We have many ways to communicate, and Aliona can make a portal whenever she wants. If you miss them, you can come visit.
It's that easy?
Nokomis asked as she peered into my eyes. Yes, I confirmed. You can send one of my messenger dragons if you just want to check in, or you can portal home if you want that. I'll never keep you from your family. I only want to add to it.
And the others will welcome me?
She wondered with an uncertain grimace. Can't you feel their love already? I chuckled. They can't wait to meet you. Listen to the soul bridges. They love you without having even seen you yet. I think they'd probably want to fight me if I don't at least bring you to meet them.
I honestly can't imagine letting you leave without me,
she whispered. Well, then don't, I said, and pulled her in for a warm kiss. The snow leopard demi-human gasped against my mouth, but then seemed to melt against me as she pressed her lips to mine. I kept my hands in G-rated places, since Kiona was in the room, and when we finally pulled apart, I realized every eye in the room was on us. My lovers looked thrilled at the PDA, but the royals were in complete shock as they stared at us with open mouths and eyes so wide I could see the whites around their irises. My daughter, what is going on here? Tecumseh finally asked.
Father, mother, I'm in love with Lord Evan,
Nokomis declared, as she slid her hand down to mine and squeezed.
I'm leaving with him, but he promised he would help me come back to visit whenever I want, or if you need me.
But what about...
Isi trailed off as she looked at Aliona with bewilderment.
We welcome her into our family with open arms,
my wife filled in as she stepped forward and took Nokomis' other hand.
She has become a sister of the heart, and we all love her.
Coco, are you serious? Tawa asked in a hushed voice.
I know it's hard to think about not being together all the time,
Nokomis said softly.
We've always been together, Tawa. But this is real love. I didn't get that before. But I have the chance now. I can't possibly let it go. You understand, right?
I understand love, he countered with a frown. But is that how Lord Evan feels about you and his wife? And all my women, I added. I love them all equally, and they love me and each other. It's a bond not many people understand, so I know you might not get it, but I promise it's real.
You love several women like this?
Tawa asked, and looked over at Sky, Isabella, Rebecca, Ravi, and Aliona, who all nodded their confirmations.
And you all love him?
With all our hearts,
Rebecca answered without hesitation.
I suppose if the love is real, I can understand that, Tawa murmured with a glance at his still shocked parents. I would never let Imala go without me.
Exactly,
Nokomis said, and smiled.
You love her like I love Lord Evan, and I'm going with him. I know you'll take care of Odraine.
Of course, he agreed, before he stepped forward to pull her into a hug.
I hope this makes you happy. It's been a long time since I've seen you smile so much.
It's been a long time since someone made me smile this way,
Nokomis replied in a soft voice.
I suppose that's it, then,
Tecumseh declared, as he swept the room with his gaze.
I'll miss you, my daughter,
Isi said, and choked back a sob.
Oh, mother, I'll come visit,
Nokomis promised.
We just have to finish this mission first. It's more important than anything else.
I know,
the queen whispered as they hugged.
And you're the perfect person to help Lord Evan finish it. Go kill that demon king bastard.
No mercy,
Nokomis agreed with a grin. We all shook hands and hugged our goodbyes, but Aliona saved Kiona for last. She pulled the little demi-human to the side, and they were both in tears as they prepared for our departure. I knew Aliona already cared deeply for the tiny shaman, and it hurt her heart to leave Kiona behind. But it was for the best to let Kiona shine in her new role. She was already gifted in her magic, and her power would only grow as she learned more. Not to mention, she had to stay and maintain the barrier spell to help keep Narsglow safe. And something told me the royals would be giving other mages a chance to show their abilities to use good magic as well.
Odraine would be better off with good, knowledgeable mages ready to learn more about their power and how to protect their people. Once Aliona was finished talking to Kiona, the little shaman squeezed her so tightly, Aliona looked like she might burst. Then they let go, and Aliona led us out the front door to the courtyard without another word. She opened the portal to Hatra, and I caught a glimpse of the warm, sandy ground ahead.
"Oh, gods, yes,"
I groaned and turned to Nokomis. "Get ready to not need that big-ass coat."
"I'm ready,"
she giggled as she squeezed my hand. We all waved to the royal family and then followed Aliona through the portal into our home city. We stepped into Hatra, and I took a breath of the arid wind and warm sunlight. Much better than Anadi's version of the North Pole. Then I realized the city was teeming with activity. People of all kinds rushed past us with little more than a good afternoon, my lord, before they continued about their business.
Odd, I murmured.
Normally, people are way more excited to see me.
"Oh, no. Are you all right, my lord?"
Rebecca teased.
"Should I massage your pride?"
"Well, maybe a little." I stuck out my tongue and laughed. I'm just surprised to see so much going on. We haven't been gone that long, right?"
"Only a week,"
Aliona agreed.
"Something is certainly happening."
"Well, let's get to the Lunar Palace and find out," I decided. We wandered through the busy streets of Hatra to the castle, and I was both surprised and pumped to see my father standing out front talking to two dragons. He looked completely baffled as he listened to them tell a story that involved a lot of hand movements, and he tugged on his bushy red tail as he listened. Then Ruslan seemed to notice our arrival, and he turned toward us with a wide grin. He held up a finger to pause their conversation before he rushed down the sidewalk to greet us.
"Oh, my son has returned," he declared and squeezed me into a hug. "How is Odraine? Did you... Oh, I see you found someone."
My father eyed Nokomis, who had shed her fur coat with the rest of us and now stood in a leather crop top and skin-tight leather pants with the noble sword hanging from her belt. The coat had hidden her spotted tail, and it now swayed freely behind her as she looked at Ruslan with an amused smile.
"Is this your father, my lord?"
she asked.
"I am,"
Ruslan replied proudly.
"And you are?"
"Nokomis of Narsglow,"
she answered with a small curtsy.
"It's a pleasure to meet you, sir."
"Ruslan," he filled in. "And you are a noble of the sword? Which one, might I ask?"
"The Sword of Mercy,"
Nokomis said, and smiled. all right, stop staring, Pops," I laughed. "Now, tell me what's going on here." I jerked my head toward the dragons in front of the Lunar Palace, and Ruslan's smile quickly faded.
"Ah, yes, we must discuss this," he said in a solemn voice.
I motioned for everyone else to wait as I followed Ruslan over to the dragons. They had a familial resemblance with the same slender build and pale yellow scales on their forearms. They shared the same straw-colored hair and bright blue eyes, but they both looked worn down, like they'd spent weeks walking across the desert to get here, though that seemed unlikely since they could have flown. Something else must have been the culprit for their exhaustion.
"Is this Lord Devon?"
the one on the right asked with a cautious glance at me.
"Yes, he's the one who sent the message,"
Ruslan confirmed.
"Lord Devon, these brothers are Mikhail and Angelos. You might have guessed they are also dragons."
"I gathered that," I agreed with a grim smile. "You two look like you need a hot meal and a bed. Have you had a chance to rest since you've arrived?"
No, my lord."
Mikhail shook his head and frowned. "Why not?" I asked with a confused look at Ruslan.
They insisted on waiting for you," he explained. "I wouldn't keep them from what they need, son."
"Of course not," I said. "We will make sure you have what you need. Let's have Forsyth prepare a meal. I'm starving anyway. He can make enough for these two, and we'll sit down and discuss how they can be part of Hatra. Do you two have any skills?"
"We do, my lord, but there's a reason we waited for you,"
Angelos replied and wrung his hands in front of him. "I'm often gone for weeks at a time," I said, and arched a curious eyebrow. "I don't think you would want to wait weeks without a meal, brothers. You look starved."
"We wanted to speak with you before we rested," Mikhail insisted. "It is of the utmost importance."
"Well, you have my attention," I said. "What do I need to know?"
We have come from afar,
Angelos answered as he wiped the sweat from his brow and left a streak of dirt across his forehead.
We received your message, though we still flew with caution. You said the sage is dead.
Yes, I confirmed with a nod. My dragon mate beheaded him here with this very blade. I gestured to the sword of healing in my scabbard, and they both nodded approvingly.
Oh, this is a great relief, my lord,
Mikhail said.
But the sage was not the only enemy of our kind.
What do you mean? I demanded.
We are not from afar, he explained carefully. We are from Rama.
But many years ago, a group of men took us captive. We were already hiding from the sage, and they took advantage of our fear.
They preyed on our worries of fighting or flying away,
his brother added and furrowed his brow with anger.
They didn't kill us, and we figured that was better than the sage, who had already promised death to all of us.
But they were just as bad, Mikhail continued. They forced us to do their bidding, which usually meant destroying their enemies with our fire.
If we refused, we were tortured,
Angelo said, as he lifted his shirt to reveal numerous scars across his belly. The pink lines crisscrossed nearly his entire torso, and I growled at the thought of someone hurting one of my brothers. The familiar fiery rage rumbled in my chest, and I clenched my fists as I listened to them continue.
When we received your message, we felt hope for the first time in years, Mikhail explained with a half-smile. We knew if we got away from our captors, we'd be safer than with them, instead of worrying about the sage killing us.
So we waited a few days to plan, and then we escaped, Angelo sighed. I have never appreciated the open skies more than I did this morning.
I know that feeling, I said, and smiled, though my heart pounded in my chest. You're welcome to stay here as long as you like. Sounds like I have a slight detour on my mission I need to take care of. The blonde-haired dragons looked at each other with disbelief before they turned back toward me.
But they killed dozens of people who stood in their way, Mikhail said and lowered his head. And we helped them.
Under threat of torture and death, I grunted. I do not hold you responsible for these deaths. Who are these people?
We only ever heard one name, Mikhail replied.
The guy who ran the place. Everyone called him Kosen.
Then that's whose head I'll be removing, I snarled. Where can I find him?
That's not everything, my lord,
Angelo said with a grimace.
There's something else you need to know.
Well, what is it?
I demanded. I wanted nothing more than to take off into the skies, find this Kosen guy, and rip his head from his shoulders. Anything else they told me would likely just add fuel to my fire.
We weren't the only dragons being held in afar, Mikhail nearly whispered.
And then my fire raged over the edge. No one fucked with my brothers. End of Book 18.